Hi there, this is James Swanick, and you're listening to the Swanick Podcast.
James Swanick here again, and if you are a dad, then you'll want to pay particular attention to this. If you are the wife of a dad, you're going to probably want to pay particular attention to this. Today we're talking to fitter, healthier dad, Darren Kirby, who has targeted himself to help 1 million dads improve their nutrition and fitness. 6 years ago, he went from an overweight, stressed out city worker to now training to qualify for the Ironman in 2021, the Ironman World Championships, that is. He now broadcasts a weekly podcast and wants to provide information and help dads on their journeys towards a fitter and healthier life. He actually lost 28 kilograms, which I think is about 60 pounds, I should say, in the US metric. Darren Kirby, thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Hey, James. Very well. Thanks for having me on the show.
You lost 28 kilos, which is about 60 pounds. How did you do that?
Well, it's just a combination of understanding nutrition and fitness mainly. And it really all started when I got the opportunity to enter into a triathlon just for fun from a supplier for a company that I was working with at the time. And up until that point, I had been training three times a week in the gym and assumed that I was quite fit, you know, quite healthy. And then I started to train for this and realized that I was neither of those. And I think the biggest thing for me was that once I really started to study nutrition, that was when the weight changed, my health changed, and just really understanding the basics. And I think that was the biggest catalyst, really.
What were you eating or drinking when you were 28 kgs heavier than what you are now?
So basically what I perceived at the time, or what we marketed to as consumers, as healthy. So, you know, the standard Western diet, if you like. So mainly a lot of carbohydrates in my diet, a lot of white flour, white potatoes, white bread, a lot of processed foods because I was working in a city, very busy, very time poor, just grabbing stuff on the go from whatever kind of shop that was closer to the office. So, you know, things like sandwiches, baguettes, you know, things with lots of sugar in, lots of salt in, and just drinking sodas like Coke and Diet Coke and things like that. Big buckets of coffee in the morning to start my day with, and some nice carby toast or some croissants on the train, and things like that, really, and not really paying any attention because I perceived at the time I was going to the gym three times a week. So that's cool. I can just burn it off.
But you didn't burn it off. You were sitting on the train eating croissants and having coffee and eating crap food. So it just kind of like, how quickly did you put on those 28 kgs? Like what was the time period of from where you were maybe decent health-wise to then just maybe being obese in that sense?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely obese. It was over a period of time, really. It was over a period of my kind of adult life, if you like. And again, you know, just not really paying any attention to diet or anything like that. It was just eating what is marketed and perceived to be healthy at the time, you know, eating moderately. It wasn't anything extreme. It wasn't like these people that you see on the TV overeating and just kind of eating lots of takeaways and stuff like that. I was just eating three meals a day, what I perceived to be normally. But unfortunately, you know, it was the wrong type of food, wrong macronutrients, and that type of thing, really.
So you helped dads. So was there a trigger that got you to losing the weight and getting healthier and educating yourself about good nutrition and exercise? Like what was the catalyst? Was it something to do with fatherhood, or was there an incident or a phase of time where you went, okay, I'm going to turn this around?
You know, I'm asthmatic as well. And so when I started to run, I couldn't run on a treadmill for more than 2 or 3 minutes without, you know, getting really out of breath. I couldn't really swim any more than 20 meters. When I first got in the pool, I couldn't get from one end of the pool to the other without getting severely out of breath. And but at that time, I thought that it was down to either asthma or just being unfit. And then once I started to look at diet as well as my exercise, I then really started to understand what macronutrients were. And I think that was the biggest catalyst, the biggest change in my diet. And it just kind of sent me off down a rabbit hole, because I just changed one thing. And the first thing I changed was my breakfast. And people started to comment to me and notice that I was starting to lose weight. And I'd never, ever had comments like that before. And then once I started to notice that, I really started to dig into the science behind it.
So what you went from having some toast and coffee at breakfast and the croissant on the way to work to what was the shift?
So the first thing was cutting out the carbs in the morning, and cutting out the coffee in the morning. The coffee, what I mean by coffee is, you know, the big buckets of coffee with the nice big dairy milk and two sugars in. You know, I cut that away and I switched to having protein in the morning. So like eggs, and some avocados, and then green tea. And that was the first change, the first biggest change that I made.
Got it. Okay. And then, what was the next shift that you made from there?
Well, then it was then understanding all the various different types of foods that make up the macronutrients. So I'd started to understand protein, as I've just said. Then, you know, I started to understand fats, because we are sold, again, as in the Western world and as consumers, and we have been since the 1950s, since our friend Dr. Ansel Keys decided that we should all follow a completely low-fat, no-fat diet. And I really, really started to understand fats and now how our body performs on fats and how much fats we need and what type of fats we need. Because instantly when you mention fat to somebody, they're like, oh, great, we can have takeaways full of fried food and stuff like that. No, that's not what I started to understand. I started to understand that vegetable fats and all that kind of stuff is actually inflammatory and hugely detrimental to the body. And I started to understand that we need omega-3s, 6s and 9s in our diets at various different ratios. And I started to add those into my diets through food. But mainly, I started to really switch my macronutrients around to having a lot of protein.
Yeah, nice. And so did that then equate throughout the day, through each and every day, just like eating more protein, getting rid of the breads, getting rid of like, what else did you add and what else did you eliminate?
So the next biggest thing I started to eliminate was processed foods. So any foods that had come out of a packet that had gone through a food process in a factory. Now, I'll caveat that, because most of the stuff that we get on the shelves has gone through a process. But what I mean is something that's actually had to go through a process and had a load of stuff added to it in order to make it, you know, to have shelf life and all the rest of it. So I started to take that out and have more natural foods. And what that meant was I then had to start to prepare food, which I'd never done before, because I used to just run out to the local coffee shop and grab whatever was there for the day. So I started to do a lot of meal prep and started to plan my food out for the week, for the day, and really pay attention to what I was eating throughout the day. And one thing that I want to add as well is that I actually started to eat less, because obviously protein is more satiating. I felt that I didn't need so much food throughout the day, and I felt that my hunger and my snacking went away as well.
Hi there, this is James Swanick and you're listening to the Swanick Podcast.
Yeah, and what the snacks that you used to snack on, how did you replace that? I mean, I know you said that your desire for snacks reduced, or maybe you were suggesting it was eliminated, but what did you used to snack on and what did you choose to snack on?
Yeah, so mainly it was crisps and chocolate that I would snack on. And obviously because I would have that dip in the afternoon through having a nice big carby lunch and needed a pick-me-up. And then what I actually switched to is having, you know, a handful of nuts, so almonds or walnuts. I'd have a bag of those in my desk if I felt hungry, and then realized that actually most of the time we're not hungry when we feel like snacking. We're actually dehydrated. So, you know, I would be drinking a hell of a lot more water than I had done in the past. So at least 2 to 3 liters a day.
It's not just water, is it? It's not just drinking like 2 to 3 liters of water a day. It's also good water and it's also not as good of water.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I would advocate definitely not having tap water. And also, you know, there is the type of bottled water, which again, you can take it one step further and have, you know, reverse osmosis filtered water, which completely takes out all of the impurities. There's various different levels that you can have in terms of water. But, and also I think the other good point to point out, as you raised it, is that you can actually overhydrate with water and you can end up taking out all the electrolytes in the body that the body needs. And so that's really important.
Yeah, got it. Any other big shifts that you made? How many, by the way, are you a father to how many?
Two boys.
And so how do you think that your attempts to lose weight and get healthier were affected by your boys? How do you see a lot of your clients or members who are dads? How are their lives challenged by, you know, poor eating or fatigue or tiredness or any of those things?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. And I would say that that's probably the second biggest catalyst that people come to me with in terms of why they want to change. They want to change for their children because they get to a point in their lives that they realize how important their health is and they want to live a long, healthy life so that they're around for their kids. And so the children are probably the one of the biggest, I'd say the second biggest reasons as to why they decide that they want to get fit and they want to drop whatever weight that they've gained. And it has a significant impact on kids. In my view, kids learn by example. They don't learn by you trying to coerce them, dictate to them, whatever it is you want them to do. If you just set an example, they will follow undoubtedly. And my kids now know a lot of stuff about nutrition that most adults don't know. And the only reason they know that is because of what they've seen me do. And then they've asked me why I'm doing certain things. They've seen me training for events and they want to get involved. My youngest wants to run every time I go running. He wants to go running with me. And so that's going a little bit off on a tangent with your question, but children are one of the biggest catalysts why people want to change.
Yeah. I see that a lot with my some of my clients who are wanting to quit drinking, and a lot of their motivations is to be around not just longer for their kids, but the quality of their life to be considerably better with their kids. Even if they don't, even if like living longer is not a goal, it's living better. Living better is a huge goal.
Yeah.
How did you notice that your relationship with your family shifted once you'd shifted the weight?
Well, I had tons more energy. That is the first thing. And I also might add at this point as well is my drinking curtailed. It didn't stop at this point, but it curtailed. And because I would drink every single weekend. So from a Friday to a Sunday, it would be drinking. You know, there wouldn't be a morning where I didn't wake up without a hangover. And so because of my training, I, you know, dialed back the drinking because I didn't want to feel rough for my training because I couldn't train to my maximum. And therefore I woke up a lot more fresh. I was getting up earlier anyway to train and I had way more energy. That is the biggest thing that I would say that happens. And when you have way more energy, you're less stressed because you're able to deal with things in a much more calm, measured way. Your relationships improve because you're just happier. you're happier through exercise. And some people don't really understand that and understand that that actually, you know, can be the case. And they also don't seem to understand that, you know, by exercising, you have more energy, because they assume that the counter to exercise is actually you're more tired. Well, you're not, because it, you know, improves our mitochondrial health, the little energy plants in our cells, and you actually have, yeah, way more energy. So there's
nutrition, and you get your
fitness dialed in. It is life-changing because it improves so many other areas of your life.
So what are some of your big tips in terms of, you know, I mean, look, I would suggest that most people know, don't eat processed foods, don't drink soda, don't eat crap, eat more protein, have more veggies, drink better water. I think most people probably know that, but actioning that is something completely different, seeing that through. So what were some practical things that you incorporated that ensured that you stuck to this consistently, as opposed to what most people do, which is like a crash diet, and then there's like this yo-yo of weight going on?
Yeah, that's a great question and a really important point. And, you know, I always say to people, you know, you need to have a reason. A lot of people tell me you need to have a why. Sometimes that's a little bit too out there for people to kind of comprehend and get their head around. But it's essentially having a goal. And my first goal was obviously to complete my first triathlon. And then once I'd done that, I then set myself another goal. So it's having a reason why. It's not just looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, oh, I want to change. I'm going to start going to the gym. I'm going to start eating healthily, because it won't be sustainable. It won't work, because when things get tough, and they do get tough, you instinctively want to give up. And then you just, like you say, you go through this yo-yo phase and you go back to where you were. So you have to really sit down and understand. And actually, I'd advocate writing it down. Why you want to get fit, why you want to get healthy, what is the reason why? And then you need to look at that regularly and understand, to remind yourself why you're doing what you're doing. And I think that for me is the biggest thing. Because motivation will get you started. Motivation won't keep you going. And it's about, to get results, you have to be consistent. So it's not about going to the gym or eating healthily a few days a week. It's actually, you know, incorporating that in your life and changing the habits that you've built up over a number of years.
So to all the dads listening out there, and to the wives of dads or the partners or even the children, what would you say to them to make sure that they're being the best dads or the best husbands or the best men that they can be, firstly? And secondly, what would you say to the dad's partner, wife, husband, partner, whatever? Like, what would you say to them?
Yeah, I mean, to be the best version of they can be, to, you know, that has to be their version, and everybody's version is different, right? So it's how, you know, it's reflecting and deciding how you want to live your life. Do you want to carry on this kind of, you know, travelator of life and just, you know, unconsciously going along? Or do you want to live your life in the best possible way that you can? And if you do, really, like I've just said, actually, just sit down and decide that you're going to make that change, but put your, you know, make a goal, and the goal can be anything. It has to resonate with you. So it could be you want to do your first park run. It could be that you want to have more energy and you don't want to sit on the sofa all weekend just watching box sets. You know, you have to decide to make the change yourself. And there's no diet, there's no exercise protocol that's going to make you do that. It has to come within you. And then the second thing is that you have to find something that lights you up. So there's a lot of people that I speak to who absolutely hate the gym. Don't go to the gym. You know, there's lots of other exercise protocols you can follow: swimming, cycling, running, CrossFit. You know, there's loads of stuff that you can do. And to the partners and the wives that are listening to this, you know, if your husband or partner wants to change, that doesn't mean to say that you have to change with them. Again, it has to be personal to you. And I think that this is one of the biggest struggles that I see with couples is that they think they, when they see their husband or their partner changing, they think that they have to change as well. No, you don't. All you literally have to do is just give them support. Give them the support that they want because of the decision that they've made, and then just help them along that journey.
Hi there, this is James Swanick, and you're listening to the Swanick Podcast.
What do you do to help you sleep at night? I'm pretty confident you have a pair of Swannies, blue light blocking glasses. And so just tell us a little bit about those.
Yeah, so yeah, I wear them pretty much now from when the sun starts to go down. I wear them at night. But outside of that, you know, well, I wear them until I actually turn the lights off before I go to bed. But I kind of have this 3-hour window where I start my kind of sleep routine, if you like. And the first thing is that I don't eat 3 hours before I go to bed, so that body and the metabolism has chance to process the food and your heart rate starts to drop. And obviously with the Swannies on, you know, your body's then starting to increase its melatonin production to help, you know, get you into sleepy mode. I then make sure that we're not watching any screens at least an hour before we go to bed. Not just through the blue light, but before, you know, so that we can just start to calm down. You don't want to be watching some crazy extreme sport movie or whatever it is before you go to bed. I also make sure that the temperature of the room is not too warm so that you get a nice relaxed sleep. You're not restless because it's too warm in the room. Obviously, the other biggest thing is stimulant caffeine. I don't have any caffeine after 2 p.m. in the afternoon, so that I'm not affected by that for my sleep.
All right, nice one. And Darren, your website is fitterhealthierdad.com. Is that right?
Tell us
a little bit about where we can find more information about you.
Yeah, so you can go to the website fitterhealthierdad.com. On there, I've got some free resources. I've got a 5-day challenge that people can take part in, and then a 14-day fat loss kickstart. And then we've got our programs. So we've got our 90-day transformation challenge as well that's on the website. Like you said, I've also got a podcast, the Fitter Healthier Dad podcast. And I'm on all the social media channels, Fitter Healthier Dad, Instagram mainly, and Facebook.
All right. So check that out, fitterhealthierdad.com. Darren Kirby, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for sharing your words of wisdom. Congratulations on your transformation.
Thanks very much, James.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Swanick Podcast. If you liked what you heard, give us a subscribe. And while you're at it, forward it to a friend you think would benefit from hearing it too. You can find us on social media or at shopswanick.com.